You're listening to Front Porch Theology, a podcast of New Heights Church. We laugh, we argue, we carry on. So welcome to our front porch. Have a seat and let's get into it.
Welcome to the Front Porch Theology Podcast. I'm Heather, your host. I'm here with a very special guest and special friend of mine, Miss Olivia Mead.
Hello.
Hey, Miss Liv, how are you?
I'm good.
So, Liv, I hope you haven't been listening to the last five episodes of the podcast because they've been shameful. We've had some really, really, I don't know. They've just been interesting. Our guests have been.
Yeah.
You will round out the last of our special guests for this series. We're gonna follow up next week with the pastors on one last spiritual discipline. So that has been our topic the last few weeks. We've been going through just different spiritual disciplines. And I'm not sure how it got started or the reason behind it. And you'll be the last person to answer this.
I'm scared.
Are you? Thank you. We've been asking all of our guests. Apparently I'm more than one person now. I am, if you ask my husband.
I was gonna different say, personalities. There's some personalities in there.
Are you more hairy or more arrogant? I know. I'm sorry.
Who started this question?
Jeremy. Jeremy Berry.
Can I just refuse?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I shaved my legs today, so I wouldn't have to say I'm more hairy. You know what that means.
Oh my God.
You don't have to answer
it. I immediately regret being on this podcast today.
That's the only terrible thing I'm going to ask you, I promise. No, I think Jeremy was trying to make a joke about Will. You know, and so I've asked all of our, asked all of our guests that, and they've surprisingly answered.
So what have our guests answered?
Everybody's a little bit of both, I think.
Okay.
Jamie, Elkin, Stephen, Jeremy Berry. Oh, sorry, Will Basham. I mean, those have been the guests. I was going to try to have Jason on, but things just didn't work out. So he would have been both as well. I'll just go ahead and tell you his answer. But no, so Liv, today we're going to be talking about something that probably a lot of people may not necessarily think of when they think of spiritual disciplines. And we're going to talk about learning and how that applies to our how that applies to our walk as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. So you have, I wanted to talk to you about this mostly because you have been, I think for the last 2 years, been teaching our women's Bible study, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. It's been about 2 years. And that's something that you have always been passionate about. You've always been very passionate. It's one of your spiritual gifts of teaching the Bible, working through books of the Bible, through Bible study. It's something that you've just always, in your ministry life, probably the last 10 years, it's something that you've been gifted with doing, and you do it very well. So I want to talk about like how you got to a place of where you knew that you wanted to learn. What you did in order to try to learn more about the Bible. I want you to give some like helpful tips, tricks, things that we can, for those who may not be as interested in learning, like different ways that maybe we could pique our interest in that topic.
Okay. Yeah. I think for me, the desire to learn comes natural. Like, I'm just kind of wired that way. And I understand that not everyone has a desire for information.
Yeah.
But that's just, like, how I've been since I was a kid. Like, I have tons of questions. I want to know more. I want to know how things work. That's just kind of how my brain is wired to desire to figure things out and to know more about something. So for me, it came quite natural as a Christian and a student of the Bible to want to dive deep and like figure things out. And I think there's like two sides of that coin. So like we're talking about learning and wanting to know more, whether it's the Bible, whether it's like big theological topics, different books like spiritual disciplines. Things like in Christian culture, you know, you could say like there are things to that are interesting that we dive deep on and want to learn more about. And then there's the like Bible literacy aspect of it, of learning your Bible. And I know you guys have talked about that on another episode. So I think the desire for both should be there for Christians, just as like a blanket statement for us. But I understand that I know like it doesn't come natural for some people. And so for me, like I said, as a kid, I was the question asker, and I now have a question asker.
Also easy, is it?
So I understand. Like, I know all kids ask questions, but one of mine has very detailed questions and, like, needs to know how things work all the time. And so as annoying as that may be sometimes, I see her for what that means. Like, I see how her brain's working because I understand what it's like to have a lot of questions. And I also was like a quiet kid. So when I had a lot of questions, I just wanted to find the answer for myself. So I wasn't always like asking questions in class. I wasn't always going up to someone and saying, can you explain this to me? My first reaction to having a question is, how do I figure this out myself? Which, like, I know that that can be beneficial. It's also not super healthy sometimes. But like that kind of led me on the path of how can I learn as much as possible on my own. And it can be helpful to you know, do things on your own a lot too. But I think, you know, in terms of learning about the Bible, there's not always a clear path for us.
That's good,
to not just learn your Bible, but like learn about theology, especially in rural places. Like, we've talked about this before when I've been on the podcast, and, you know, Jason and Will and I like have done a lot of resource work in things for rural pastors and like people in ministry. It is not always easy to find things that are applicable to not just like your ministry in a rural place, but everyday life, you know, like it's, things are different in West Virginia than they are in like California or a suburb in New York. Life remains the same, but like the way that we engage with people and culture can be different. And so I think in terms of, you know, having this desire to learn, and then finding a way to get there is not always easy. I feel like I'm rambling now. So.
No. I think that's really good. So I recently had a conversation with a visitor from our church, and we were talking about the different versions of the Bible. And she was just asking me, like, what's a version that I prefer? And then I later, I think even the very next day, I had a friend come over to my house, and we were just talking about how growing up, we were always, it was always instilled to us that we would only read one version of the Bible, that it was the only one that was correct, and everything. And she and I had a really good conversation about, like, what, for me, you know, ESV has been the Bible that I've been able to, that I've been able to learn from the best, that I've been able to read and learn and understand and apply. And I think that's really important. So, I love that you explain to our listeners about how, like, you just have this love of learning. A lot of people probably don't understand that, but I understand that not for myself, but because my husband's the same way. Jason's the very same way. So you're talking about your sweet girl who is the same way. Benjamin is the same way, and it's really interesting because I'm the total opposite. There's a lot of things that I'm 100% okay not knowing.
Like, you don't want the answer to
everything. I don't want the answer.
I want the answer to everything. I know. If there's a question, I want the answer.
So, we will talk in just a minute. Our church has started a cohort. So, that started about 2 years ago as well. And for those who don't know what the cohort is, it's just a it's an opportunity to better understand different theological topics that our church believes that are in the Bible. And that's something that you have completed, and I want to talk in just a minute more about that. But I've applied for the cohort twice,
and then denied.
Well, no, I was accepted. Why, I'm not sure. And then I finally just told our pastors, like, hey, I can't commit to this. Like, it doesn't interest me. Like, I love some of these topics, and I'm really passionate about some, and then some I just don't care about. To me, you know, there's certain things that I don't need to know how it is or what's going to happen. And I'm just okay I guess in the ignorance of it, that, you know, that saying ignorance is bliss. Like, I'm just okay being ignorant about it and not knowing and not caring.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's okay for some people.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of people who do desire to know more, or, and even people who've come from different church backgrounds, or maybe who don't have a church background, they want to know more about it. And I think that's where having something like the cohort definitely is very helpful. So tell us, tell our listeners a little bit about the cohort, and tell me about it too, because obviously I can't, I can't get through two sessions of it each time. But let's talk about the different topics and how, and maybe pick one or two that has was really helpful to you in teaching you things that you may not have believed the same way or even was familiar with before.
So it's a two-year program, and the first year deals with some like heavier theological topics. So we're talking about things like eschatology, salvation. It's very much like a systematic theology approach. So you're kind of going through these big ology topics that people say, and doing a deep dive on not just like what it means and what we believe as our local church, but historically, like what have Christians believed about salvation? What have Christians believed about end times, about communion, about baptism? Like it can be very simple practical things, or like the large, like how do we function as a local church? How do we govern ourselves? That's something that kind of comes in the second year, because the second year is a little more practical, like ways to equip you for ministry. And we still, you know, talk about like the larger topics, but it's a little more of like equipping in the second year, whereas the first year is really focused on kind of it, whether you have ever studied this stuff or not. It takes a really long time and a lot of work to really wrap your head around what some of this stuff means. Like I just a couple weeks ago, Jeremy and I were talking about eschatology, and I told him like I feel like I understand where I land, but I still don't know. Like I'm still figuring it out. Like I could communicate it in a way that like someone like he would understand, but I wouldn't teach a class on it because I don't have like a firm blurry. This is exactly what I believe. But again, like it's something that I seek after.
Yeah.
And for me, I want to know like where do I land? What does this mean for me? But even just understanding like this is, you know, here are three like orthodox beliefs that many Christians hold, different Christians hold. So like that kind of stuff is presented in the cohort. There's Q&A time, which is really good with the pastors to be able to ask questions and kind of like have a dialogue about what you're learning. I think for me, my favorite like topic, and it wasn't even necessarily a like a whole class was dedicated to this, but I really enjoy learning about church history. And so when we talked about some church history pieces, like Jeremy did a lot of that kind of stuff. To me, that's super interesting. And it's something that in the last couple years, I have tried to focus on reading more of like, not just books that are, you know, from the last few decades, but books that are, you know, like way, way longer than that. Yeah. So like last year I read, it's a pretty famous book by St. Athanasius called On the Incarnation, like very old book, like diving into that kind of stuff to see that, you know, a lot of the things that we deal with, even in culture, like culture, we're so different than even 50 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you think like hundreds of thousands of years ago, a couple thousand years ago, like there's a lot of cultural differences, but a lot of it isn't all that different when you kind of like zoom in
really,
and
yeah.
see
really
very closely. To me, that was so interesting to see that like some of the same things that some of the church fathers were writing about are really applicable to us today, even culturally.
Yeah.
So I think that you don't realize that until it's presented to you in a way that's interesting, and the cohort's interesting, but also in a way that you're able to understand. I think that's kind of like a key piece with learning. And, you know, I had a lot of teachers growing up who were wonderful teachers, whether just in school or like in Bible school. who made things really interesting.
Yeah.
Like that makes a difference.
It really
does. If you make something like kind of jump out at you rather than just like reading it on a page, you're interested in it. Like you want to know more. And so I think that for us as teachers and you know, like a pastoral sermon is a little different, but they're still preaching in a compelling way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that people kind of latch on to understand. So you're like giving something really dense, but in a way that's helpful for people. And that's really what the cohorts do is you know, we zone in, like look at a topic so specific, broaden it out to see like, what might this mean for us? What does this mean, you know, in church history? What does it mean for you and your ministry? And then like building on each topic each time. And so it's a really great way for someone in a local church to learn about theology, to not just learn about the Bible, but to learn about theology and then like how you fit in ministry in the local church, because not all of us are going to go to seminary. Not all of us have the time, the money, or even the desire to go that deep or to make it something that so specific. But for local churches to offer this kind of stuff, like it's highly important. And I'm really glad that we're able to do that for people.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's been the sessions that I attend, they were really, they were really good. Mm-hmm. I was trying to think of a way that I love the sessions that we had, but it just wasn't something that I was interested in learning. I know that may sound bad, but it's just not something I was interested in at the time.
Yeah.
And I may come back to it in the future and may not, who knows. But so for those listeners who may not have ever like taken a deep dive into really doing more than just skimming their Bible or memorizing scripture, where is a really good place for them to start? Because, you know, we can all read the Bible. I think a way that we can understand the Bible better is by hearing the word preached, by reading it, by being in fellowship with people in Bible study to learn mm-hmm. the different things that scripture means. But I also think that learning, doing the deep dives in the classes is definitely something that's very important too. So for somebody who maybe isn't as interested or feels overwhelmed, because it can be very overwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
I think that may have been something that a big thing for me. It wasn't until probably about 10 years ago that I even heard the word theology.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I bought a book, I think a little over a year ago, and it had all the different like theological terms like eschatology and any of the things that you probably could name 10 right now off the back of your hand. And I'm just like really struggling for two. So I bought a book to kind of help me, to even help me be able to podcast and mm-hmm. have conversations with Will and Jeremy about these things, because, that terminology is something that can be intimidating and overwhelming for people. So for those listeners who may feel that way, like, where do you think a good place to start is?
I'll say two things. First, it's okay to be intimidated because it is intimidating.
Yeah.
And it takes a really long time to understand a lot of these topics. Like, it's taken me a long time. And
some we may not fully.
And yeah, understand. And that's okay.
We could also talk about the issue of how women have been taught to be intimidated by the terminology.
Yeah, because a lot of, we could spend time there forever.
We don't need to,
I'll say a little about that. I mean, I think historically, that kind of stuff is, like, happening in seminaries, happening in, like, pastoral trainings.
Yeah.
A lot of women go to seminary, especially now, but that's not always been the case, because seminary has been a place like to train pastors. That's like been, I know that's, you know, people will, you know, argue against that and like, it's not that now, but historically,
that's been
kind of like a pastor, or you want to be a church planter, you go to seminary.
Right.
And it's also expensive. Like, it's expensive to go get a degree. It's very time consuming. That's not always available for women, especially if you have a family or you have a job, like you have other responsibilities. Yeah. So, so that aside, like it's not always been something highly available to women, like as it is now. So like I could order 5 books off of Amazon now and you can, you know, read that on your own. But I think, the other thing I was going to say is doing this kind of study in community is essential because for me, for a long time when I first started studying, you know, I said I was like I'm the person who like I want to figure out the answer for myself and then make sure I'm right and then I'll talk to somebody about it. That's like my fatal flaw is needing to be right about everything. Hope Matt doesn't listen to this because he's gonna be like amening in the car.
Come on.
But talking about like what you're learning and even your questions and like where do I start in community, whether it's a cohort type setting or not, like the cohorts are a great place for that. But just a friend over coffee of like, hey, what do you think about soteriology, the doctrine of salvation? Like, have you even ever heard that word before? And maybe you could both be like, no, I've never heard that before. And sip your coffee. It's like one step after another. Yeah. You know, it's you have to you have to understand that this is not just the Bible, but like theological topics and things. Like there are people that are going to debate one side like until they die. And like this is the right thing to believe. And there's another person that's on the opposite side that's going to debate it until they die. Like this is what I believe. And so it's so confusing sometimes to be like, well, both of those cases are really compelling. What do I believe? And you might find yourself of like, I don't know. Right. But just understanding the conversation, I think, is the goal, at least for most of us. Mm-hmm. Now, for some, like, yes, you should have like a hard stance. Like our pastors shouldn't be like, we don't care what we believe on all these things. But for most people to just like be part, you know, be able to have a working knowledge of this kind of stuff, I think that's kind of the goal for most Christians. And if you don't care about all like learning more, I think that's okay. I think it shouldn't be a cop out to be like, I'm never going to interact with this.
Right, absolutely.
But it's okay if you don't want to spend, you know, 3 hours on a Saturday morning reading a theology book. Yeah. Like that's just not, you know, going to be someone's life like that. And that's okay. But I think, so there's a couple new books that are really great. One book is called Everyone is a Theologian by J.T. English and Jen Wilkin. I think it's, yeah, everyone, or you are, you, no, you it's are, you are a theologian.
Yeah, you are
Everyone
a theologian.
Is a Theologian. That's R.C. Sproul. I just that's have okay. R.C. Sproul in my mind all the time.
You love him.
That's my guy. God rest his soul. You Are a Theologian.
Yes.
By Jen Wilkin and J.T. English. Yes. Have you read that?
No, it's on my to read.
Okay. I haven't read it either. Our friend Heather Ray, she read it.
I saw that,
really likes it. And I mean, I highly recommend. So they basically go through, they take like a systematic theology approach and like pick some of these topics and each have a chapter on, I don't know, probably like 8 or 10 topics in theology and just do a very like lay level explanation of it and also give you tools to learn more. I think that book, even though it's a new book, like it's not a, you know, it's not a curriculum or anything. I think that is a great place for people to start if you just want, you know, just a very quick.
That's one thing I love about anything Jen Wilkin, anything that she writes. Like she's very practical about how to apply. Like she, I can't think of the name of the book right now. You probably can. I think it's called In His Image, where she goes through the Ten Commandments.
That's a different one. That's
called In His Image.
10
words to live by.
10 words to live by.
There we go. Look,
that is a really good book.
It was a really good book. So Jen Wilkin's book, you would suggest that. Is there anything else that you would suggest?
Well, since I already mentioned R.C. Sproul.
There you go.
R.C. Sproul has it's like a whole course. It's called Foundations, and it's on systematic theology. And so it is one of my favorite resources. He has his like organization is called Ligonier. And so if you go to ligonier.org, you'll like find all this stuff. And most of it's free. So he has like audio teachings, video teachings, and some stuff on that. So like some of that you might have to buy. But for me, when I was learning about theology, like in the last 10 years, that has been my favorite resource to like watch his videos, see him writing on a chalkboard, <That's> like cool. all of these, you know, yeah. I learn really well from him. I love his personality. So I really like that. Now, he is Presbyterian, so, like, you know, we have some differences in baptism, for yeah. instance. So, you know, you got to kind of, like, understand that, like, you are going to have with anyone, in any faith tradition, like, there may be some things that are like, you know what, I don't, like, our church doesn't do it that way. But understand the position of, like, of infant baptism versus full immersion. Like you should understand the other side. And I think, you know, I think about Jeremy Barry on this all the time, which, by the way, I think that's the third time I've mentioned him on this podcast, and I'm so mad at myself for it. I'm sorry.
You want him to be an enemy, but he's like the best. He's just the best friend that you never had. Almost. I
know. It's true. It's true.
I've grown to feel friendly toward him over the years.
That's good to know. It's taken years.
Yeah. But yeah, I defend him a lot. Behind closed doors,
yeah,
behind his back. So it's been a process.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy the other day was telling me about a debate he was listening to on. I don't even remember. We were talking about the Acts study, like comparing notes. He was like, "It's 4.5 hours of just these guys debating a topic," and said he would send it to me.
Please don't.
Like, you can send it. I'm probably not going to listen. It sounds interesting. But, you know, he loves that.
He does. He loves that.
And, like, that's his personality. He wants to see, like, all sides of the coin. And, like, how does someone argue something really well? And I think that we need to lean into that kind of stuff in our personality to be like, you know, I'm going to go to him if I want to know what that other person believes, even if he doesn't believe that.
That's one of the things that I love about our church and that I love about our pastors, too. When I was having that conversation with my friend a while back or last week, that was one of the things I told her. I'm like, it's okay that you don't agree with them. Like, they have made space for that. And we actually, Jason and I were talking with her, and we talked about how a few years ago, like Patrick, Jabes, Jeremy, and Will all sat down, and they did a podcast on, I don't know what they did a podcast on. I didn't listen to it.
You just know they were there.
I know they were there because I was offended because they created the podcast episode without me. That's what I was mostly offended by. Yeah, but, you know, it was really interesting to listen to that because each one of them had a different belief or opinion about the topic.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing, like the atmosphere and the environment of being able to have a space to say, I agree or disagree, or I just don't know how I feel about it. And that's a beautiful thing in your walk for Christ, because I think a lot of times we all, especially if we have grown up in church, we get to a place where we have to find our grown-up faith. So there's things that I know you understand this. Mm-hmm. There's things that I was taught and believed growing up that I don't now.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of it was a lot of legalistic stuff.
Yeah.
Some of it was just probably bad theology.
Yeah.
It was bad because that's what they were taught and that's what they believed. Mm-hmm. And you don't know better until you know better.
And you don't even understand. Like, I remember probably early 20s, like very early 20s, kind of coming into this like theology discussion and realizing how many different views on things there were.
Wild.
Like, I remember thinking, like learning about eschatology and then learning about dispensationalism versus covenant theology. Like, that was kind of my first deep dive into, oh my gosh, like wait, there are people who don't believe it, like the rapture that everyone has always talked about, you know, in churches that I've been in. Like,
that was all I knew growing up. I didn't know there was another option.
Like, I remember. I
didn't know there were other thoughts and beliefs out there.
Watching the Left Behind.
The Left Behind. Movies, I read the series.
Like, watching that and being so terrified. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't be able to walk outside in like a pretty sunny day and like look at the sky without being terrified. So that should tell you. Welcome to Appalachia. But so yeah, like I think understanding absolutely that there is a difference in belief, and like also know that there's a saying like the main things are plain things.
Ooh, that's
so like
good.
There's things in like Orthodox Christianity that, you know, like you can't deny the Trinity and be like, yeah, that's just, you know, not what I believe, like, right, and still be a Christian.
Yeah.
Like there are things that are first tier issues that we can't disagree on. You know, the pastors have talked about this a lot, but there are second tier and third tier issues that like you may not be in fellowship with someone like in the same church if you disagree on something, but that doesn't mean that you're like not a Christian.
Yeah.
So even understanding that, of seeing that, like, I can have Christian friends who believe differently than me, but, like, they're still Christian.
Absolutely, yeah.
We may not be in the same faith community or, like, in the same church or denomination or whatever, it be, however you want to classify it. But to see that there's space for absolutely difference of opinion, and also have not think that, like, other people are stupid for not believing what we
absolutely
believe. Like,
yeah,
like there are so many people who have put so much effort into learning and framing their position and fully believe that it's, you know, based on scripture, just as we may fully believe that our belief is based on scripture.
Absolutely.
So, like, having grace to even have those conversations with people,
yeah,
I think in learning what you believe and learning about these topics, it gives you a better understanding and even accountability to yourself to be,
yeah,
like, can I defend what I believe?
Right.
Like, just very basically, can I defend the gospel?
You know, and I think that's probably the most important part of learning.
Yeah.
Is being able to just give the gospel to somebody and tell them why.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people who can't do that.
Yeah. And I always, like, there's this assumption that you have to be able to share a testimony.
Yeah.
Like, as you're sharing the gospel. So, like, many people think that that's what authenticates sharing the gospel with someone, is being like, well, this is what God did for me.
Right.
And this is how I got saved.
Yeah.
And, like, a testimonial is beautiful and important for us to share, like, God's faithfulness to us. But that's not the gospel.
No, it's not.
Like, you don't have to have some incredible story that brings people to tears,
yeah,
in order to share the gospel with them,
yeah,
to talk about the Bible.
Absolutely.
You know, like, that's not really, shouldn't be, like, an evangelism starting place.
Right.
The starting place should be the Bible.
Man, we could stay and talk about that for a while, couldn't we? No, that's really good, Liv. I think there's a lot that could be talked about that. We could probably stay here for a while and talk about it, but we won't. But no, I love that you have such a desire and a passion to learn. I love that you are instilling that in our women. You know, a lot of that community and fellowship is happening at our Bible studies, at our tables.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like little mini small groups all across the room.
Yeah.
And it's really cool. It's a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
And if you don't attend our Bible studies, please come out. You can probably text any one of us that you know that comes, and we can screenshot you the picture of the questions and everything. That's what I've been doing, cause I left my Bible study in Logan, but I'm coming tonight. Don't you worry. Liv, is there anything else you want to say on the topic? I know we could talk for a while about it, especially some of the things we brought up, but, I wanted to close this out on a passage of scripture that I really like. It's in Proverbs 9:9. And it says, give instruction to a wise man and he will still be wiser. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. I think that's so important,
mm-hmm,
in our walk with Jesus. So thanks for being here, Liv.
Thanks
to our listeners.
Thanks for listening. If you have any questions, submit them on the New Heights Church app. And we'll catch you next time. Watch for deer.